In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Psalm 51 is probably the most recognizable psalm in the life of any Orthodox Christian. And this is especially true for priests and deacons. For it is not only a part of our morning prayers and our evening prayers, but we also find it throughout several of the services that are called for throughout the day. We find it in the Matin service. We said it this morning. We heard it this morning right after the gospel reading in Matin service. But we also find it in the third hour. We find it also in the compline service and the midnight office. And for a priest and a deacon, it is prayed in its entirety two times during the Divine Liturgy. And also several times during the Divine Liturgy, there are verses from Psalm 51 that the priest will pray quietly as he stands at the altar. The first time he prays the whole psalm is when he or the deacon is sensing the church before the beginning of Divine Liturgy. As the priest or deacon senses and goes around the church, he is chanting quietly to himself Psalm 51, which is also Psalm 50 in the Greek numbering, the Septuagint numbering of the verses. The second time is also said during a sensing, during the cherubic hymn. The priest or the deacon will be chanting Psalm 51 as he senses the altar and the iconostas. It is taken for granted in the rubrics that the priest or the deacon will know this psalm by heart because he's going to be saying it on the go as he's going around the altar, as he goes around the church. He will be saying that psalm and he can't carry a book around it. So it is assumed that he will know this psalm by heart, not only because he's going to learn it for when he's doing the sensing, but because it is a part of his prayer life so many times throughout the course of the day. He will have said that psalm over and over again, so that it becomes not just the words of a psalm, the words of King David, but it becomes his own prayer. It becomes his own prayer as he expresses himself to God in prayer. Later, right before the most sacred part of the Divine Liturgy, which is the Epiclesis, when the priest calls down the Holy Spirit upon the holy gifts of the bread and wine which we are offering, and he prays that the Holy Spirit will make that bread into the body and blood of Christ, he will ask the Christ three times to renew the Holy Spirit within him. And in so doing, he's also using words from this psalm. He will recite the verse from Psalm 51 as part of his own prayer, and he says this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." These words, indeed the whole Psalm 51, are the words of the holy prophet King David in repentance for having committed both murder and adultery. When he sent out, he had an affair with a woman named Bathsheba, and then he sent her husband, who was one of David's own soldiers, he sent him to the front lines so he could be killed, so that David then could take Uriah's wife as his own wife and commit adultery again. The contemporary Greek theologian Archimandrite Vasilios Papavasiliou, he speaks to the irony of the priest praying this psalm so often. He says, "It is therefore the prayer of a murderer and an adulterer that the celebrant of the liturgy recites and makes his own prayer as he prepares to offer the holy oblation. For sin lies not only in our own actions, but in the corruption and evil desires found within our own heart." We might ask ourselves, what does all this have to do with the parable of the sower, which we have just read today from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke? It's this: because the sower, who is Jesus Christ, the Word of God the Father, is sowing the seeds of grace into our own hearts. And that is where the seed will be received, and it will either be nurtured or it will be rejected by man. And so we have to ask ourselves this question: what kind of ground will the seed of God's word find when it reaches our own heart? The biblical concept of the heart is the source of all potential of both the spiritual and the physical life. Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Unfortunately, in the past 3 months or so, I've had to learn more about the physical side of the heart than I ever really wanted to know. I was diagnosed with something called atrial flutter, which is a cousin of the more popular, well-known atrial fibrillation. Now, what that did, it practically brought me to the point of having a stroke. My heart was beating up to 300 times a minute. And so since then, I have learned about things like heart rhythms, beta blockers, blood thinners, cardioversions, and finally, I had an ablation, which actually burned a scar onto my heart, which now the electrical impulse that causes the atrial flutter hits that scar, bounces off of it, and it puts the heart back into a normal rhythm. At least that's the way I understand it. And as they wheeled me into the room to do that, there was a big screen television up there on the wall, which was a GPS system, the same GPS system that's in your car, which they used to map my heart and then find the actual spot that the atrial flutter was beginning. And then they stopped it. Now, like I said, that is probably more than you wanted to know. I know it was more than I wanted to know. But getting back to the spiritual side of the heart, since I've learned so much about the physical side lately, in the spiritual side of the heart, it is not only the seat of compassion, love, mercy, and all those virtues that St. Paul speaks about as virtues of the Holy Spirit, but it is also the site of the evil potential within us as well. Jesus Christ tells St. Peter in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 19, he says, "Out of the heart also proceeds evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, theft, false witnesses, lying, and blasphemies." Elsewhere, our Lord says that if we even look with lust upon another person, we have committed adultery in our heart. If we look with violence on another person, then we also have committed murder in our own heart. And this goes back to the irony of what Archimandrite Basilios says, that a priest is making the prayer of a murdering and adulterous king his own prayer. Well, it doesn't seem so far-fetched now, does it, that a priest or anyone would make that prayer their own, knowing that whatever we do in our own heart is actually the source of all sin. Now, I have not actually committed either murder or adultery in my own life, but in my heart, I have probably murdered a lot of people, especially like watching baseball. I know I've murdered a lot of umpires. And I'm sure that I have committed adultery in my heart, as well as probably most of us out here and everywhere have done as well. Therefore, we should all be saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and a right spirit within me." And again, what kind of ground does the seed of Christ find in our heart? Is it as hard as a rock so that it just hits it? We hear the word of God and it bounces away. St. Cyril of Alexandria says, "No divine word will ever be able to enter into the heart of those whose minds and hearts are hard and unyielding. Their hearts are sterile and unfaithful," he says, "unworthy to receive the words that promote virtue." Are we like the ones who have no roots, who receive the word of God joyfully at first, but then we become so restless that it never takes root in our heart? Again, St. Cyril says that they are those who come to church, but the moment that they leave the church, they have forgotten everything that they heard that was holy while they were in there. And they never get even a chance to put into practice the gospel that they heard. They might come back again and again for a while, but the moment that something is required of them, he says, by the gospel, either by a persecution or in most cases simply a desire just to fit in with the world, they go with the crowd and they cast aside the narrow way of the gospel. But I think most of us, for the majority of us, we will identify mostly with those who receive the seed among the thorns and are choked by the cares of the world and what Christ calls the deceit of the riches of the world, that are able to strangle even the good fruit that we may have sown by receiving the seed of the gospel. That is why Christ tells the apostles that it is difficult, but not impossible, but very difficult for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. St. Gregory the theologian says, it is wonderful that Christ has presented riches to us as thorns, for they prick while those delight. They lacerate the mind by pricking the thoughts, and they draw blood and inflict a wound in our heart. Christ joins to the riches both cares and pleasures of the world as well. He says they oppress, for they strangle the throat of the heart with vexatious thoughts. They block good desires from coming into our hearts. So St. Gregory echoes what Christ says, that even our successes in life and our own riches in life can become thorns that strangle the spirit from blooming in our heart. Later on in the Old Testament, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, answers the prayer of David when David asked to receive a clean heart and a new and right spirit. And God says through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, in a prefiguration actually of Christian baptism, I'm sure, he says this, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean from all your filthiness. A new heart will I also give to you, and a new spirit will I place in you. I will take away the stony heart from you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. The 20th century Coptic desert father, whose name was Matthew the Poor, Mata el Meskin, he said this, the heart of man is man's holy of holies. It is this feature that makes it fit for the indwelling of God. For if a man loves God in his heart, it means that he loves him with all his being. Jesus said to us, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We have to ask ourselves, is our heart a heart of stone, or is it a heart of flesh? It is a heart of flesh, St. Cyril says, that is free from anxieties, rich and fruitful, honest and good, that receives deeply the seeds of Christ and retains them and cherishing them and striking them deeply within deep roots, and in due season comes to perfection. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and a right spirit within me. This should be our prayer today. And let us also say today, as we said in the prayer, the canon for communion last night, O Lord, who was born of a virgin, cleanse my heart and make it a temple for thy most pure body and blood. Cast me not away from thy presence as one defiled, O thou who hast mercy without measure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory to Christ.